Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin. Breathe in, breathe out, me and more. Breathe in, breathe out, never mind. It was time, number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, I'm destined.
We continue on at East River 9, but it's a little different. Sean Bates is out here with me. I know Lance didn't really do a proper goodbye. There was no news of the weird, but he's got a medical procedure to deal with, so he is out.
Shout out to Kaplan.
Yeah, thanks to Kaplan for getting Lance right, and also for sponsoring the Glenn Davis segment. And I'm pausing because I was trying to make sure. Yeah, they did increase the levels of the music by several percent.
Yeah.
Several tiers.
Like right as
the show was
our
starting.
Show started. Yeah,
yeah. So
which I take as disrespect.
It is disrespectful, but this is an establishment that runs a business. So,
yeah,
so Birdie's is fully open, and that's part of the deal. We're out here at East River 9 in Birdie's, which means you can come out here because the promo team is getting set up. And by team, I mean one individual. And she is going to give you the opportunity, thanks to Republic Boot Company, to get a $500 gift certificate if you come out here. Just find the promo team, once again, that one individual, and sign up. The winner will be announced at 5:30. You do not have to be out here to win, but this is your chance to get a great gift from Republic Boot Company, as we're out here to celebrate not just the U.S. Open, but the U.S. versus Australia a little bit later today, about 4 hours from now, as they try to get a second win in two games as they continue on their World Cup campaign. We had a couple of matches yesterday that weren't that entertaining unless you just like some schadenfreude between Qatar and Canada. There was an incident in the second half that led to a lot of, as the English would say, argy-bargy. They're just pushing, shoving, and some concerns definitely for Kone, who broke his leg, and it led to an after-match slight altercation. So we'll talk about that. But as I said, U.S.-Australia a little bit later today, and that's what we're here for, along with the U.S. Open. The Astros get back in action. They got the Guardians at home today, Imai on the mound, and that's about it because it's Imai, so I'm not sure what to say other than, hey,
Mike Burrows
will
available.
Be out there. Oh, I forgot. We did not mention that yesterday. Mike Burrows, after, let's just say, a less than stellar run, is now someone who can be combined or tagged to Imai as two struggling pitchers are tagged together to see if they can combine for a respectable outing.
Yeah, I think we talked about it. Definitely Joe and I have talked about it on Inside the Icebox of, like, when Javier McCullers come back, I'm like, someone's got to piggyback someone because we can't be in a five-man rotation with, I don't know, three guys that are liable to go, like, two and a third at any given moment. Like, there has to be some long relief ready, and I think I'm a little surprised that Mike Burrow's the one that caught the short end of the straw, if you want to, or the demotion, if you wanted to see it that way, but it's not without merit, I'd say that.
I would agree, and if you start to look at who's getting paid what, as far as Imai, a lot of money to be here. Mike Burrows was acquired in a trade. Peter Lambert, or as we like to call him, Lambo, because that's his nickname, is pitching well enough that he wouldn't get a demotion. And then Hunter Brown is back, so
It makes sense.
It makes sense that Burrows would be the one. Now, can he be an effective pitcher out of the bullpen? I don't know. He was an effective starter, so maybe if he gets quote unquote demoted will get better performances out of one Mike Burrows. We'll be joined by Michael Carroll at 11:30. He'll join us to talk movies and television. We got a big show coming back this Sunday with House of the Dragon, so that might be the one thing you definitely need to stay in for. And it's Sunday night. Where are you going to go? So we'll discuss that. There's some big trailers that came out. We got the Spider-Man press tour going as that movie gets ever closer. And so a lot of stuff to get to. And certainly if you want to call us, you can. 713-780-3776 is the number. Sean and I are out here at East River 9. We'll be going till noon. Then DJ BNMA and Sarge will be going from 12 to 3. And are Jeremy and Joe together today?
I believe so.
So it's always
no Brian though.
It's always a question of whether Jeremy and Joe will be doing the show together. Hey, conflicting schedules sometimes. So 3 to 6, Jeremy and Joe will be out here as we will continue out here until 6. And of course, AJ's back with us. Well, he's back in studio, but he's the producer as he was for the morning show. So sticking with the Astros for a bit because it's not surprising, but their team ERA is one of the worst in baseball. I was looking at the article, but it's actually better as far as their ranking than I would have thought because they're 28th. I just assumed they'd be a last. So I didn't have high expectations, but they're better with the A's and the Rockies being worse. I can't prove this, and I'm not going to look to see, but I just feel like the A's would have ranked higher than the Astros until they played those games in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to guess that the time in Las Vegas screwed the A's over.
There's no way that's not true. And again, I haven't looked at the numbers.
Yeah, I've just been able to see the results of games in Vegas.
Spiritually.
And it just feels like as soon as they started to play some games there in that minor league ballpark, the numbers got really bad for the A's, and that's why they're trailing the Astros as far as ERA is concerned. You've got a 4.87 thanks in large part to Burrows and Imai, and it's appropriate that those two will be the two who combine to hopefully get them through the game today against a Guardian team who's better than the last couple teams they've played. So Astros this weekend, we'll see if they can win another series. And with the AOS being what it is, winning series will certainly keep you in the race, as I think right now they're like 4 games back. The Mariners won yesterday. They beat Baltimore in the closing game of that series. So in 4 hours, we got U.S. versus Australia. We had Glenn Davis on at 8, and he took us through the matchup and what to expect. And we had a conversation about what would be a result that we would be okay with. I think that we would be fine with a win. As long as you get through it,
just win,
healthy,
baby.
And you win, good. And if you get the right result in the Turkey and Paraguay game, then you win the group. For those who don't know, FIFA went away from goal differential as their first tiebreaker. It's now head-to-head. So with the U.S. beating Paraguay, as I go back and forth between Paraguay and Paraguay, it's just going to be a thing. Just get used to it, everyone.
I don't think we have to worry about it after, next week?
Yeah, probably won't have to worry about it. And that's the thing. If Turkey does, or that does not win, even if it's a tie and the U.S. beat Australia, the U.S. wins the group, and they can decide how they want to manage that last game, whether they want to rest players, go on all out, get some guys who may not be part of their like top 15, top 16 some minutes in the World Cup. So that's why this game, beyond just winning it, is important. You want to be able to manage this tournament, and if Christian Pulisic does play, it would be nice to win this match so he doesn't have to play in the next one.
Do we think he's going to play, though?
Glenn Davis said he believes he'll play.
Okay.
So, because we, as you know, we may watch the sport, but we don't have all the insights about how they handle injuries. If we go by, and Lance brought it up, if we go by an NFL injury, a guy who does not practice with his team for a full week, he's unlikely to play.
Very unlikely, yeah.
So I believe, much like the NFL, the U.S. handled it with media viewing. You get like the first 15 or 20 minutes to see what's going on, and then the media has to leave. So I don't know if Christian Pulisic, as soon as the media left, ran out there and was actually in team drills and they just didn't get to see it. But we do know he had on-field work in an individual sense the last couple of days, and that's all they saw. So I guess we'll find out. I think it's an hour and a half before the game, or maybe it's 30 minutes. I know the Premier League does it. Their lineups are out an hour and a half before the match. I'm not sure how the World Cup is. Trust, we will know beforehand. It won't be the surprise where does he run out or does he not run out. We will know. And for people who go to the matches, how it works is the starting 11 or starting 10 plus the goalkeeper, they'll run out there by themselves and train together. And then the guys who will be on the bench will get into work as well. So anybody who's at the match in Seattle will know as well on the field. If Christian Pulisic is out there with the other starting 10, they'll have their answer if they're not up to date on what's going on online. So that is the real question. And we played some sound yesterday that has stoked this rivalry between the two. It's simply one U.S. pundit insulting the entire continent of Australia as far as how they play soccer, I guess. And now every – well, he also –
He threw some shots in general at
he mentioned the Outback and other things.
He tried to list off things that Australia as a whole is good at, and he got to safari within like three.
So he has not been very respectful, and that has led to the Australians leaning into what they love to lean into, the underdog mentality. It's us against, well, in this case, the U.S., and that is supposed to spur them on to a win. Look, Sean and I are fans of college football teams who – when they're going good, are hated for multiple reasons, whether it be arrogance or just, quote-unquote, the bad boys of the sport or just simply being good.
Hate us because they ain't us.
Yeah, that type of thing.
So they don't got money like we do.
Well, sure. I mean, what you're saying now isn't helping the cause. but normally, you're an underdog for a reason, and you get put down because you're not as good. Mm-hmm. The question is, does that play out in soccer with all the things that are going on as far as injuries with the U.S. and just the environment of a World Cup and what it means for a country to play in it. So that is the featured story of the day. And really, I was thinking about this. If you are someone covering a different sport, and maybe it's just unique to me because I grew up loving the sport, if you're covering like just say Greg Blum and Todd Callis or the Astros account tweeting, are you in some way shouting into a void? Particularly because the Astros aren't very good, and it seems like if you just look at the ratings and the conversations, that the sporting world, at least the sporting eyes of this country, are focused on something else because of what the U.S. did last Friday.
I think I definitely feel some of that. Where I think the World Cup. I mean, it's so funny to be like, I think the World Cup is kind of dominated the conversation, but I think it's dominated the conversation in this country that's unusual.
I think in an unexpected way based off what we saw last Friday. I think
definitely helped. Hosting's a boost, and then also the USMNT playing probably the best game in a World Cup that they ever have, maybe taking out, you know, whatever, winning.
Beating Mexico.
Knockout round game at 0-2. But I think just like as far as on-field performance, especially it being the first game of the tournament for the squad, just immediately, I mean, this is something else we know because of our college football fandom, the early season result that immediately takes the hype meter to 10.
Yeah.
I was at the Texas's back game against Notre Dame. I was there walking out of the stadium being like, we did it.
We did.
We're back. We're back, folks.
Charlie Strong is a god.
Yep, Charlie Strong. Also, 2.5 months later, lost to Kansas and was fired.
Yes, so let's not hope for that. Let's not. Hell, it happened to my team last year. You beat Notre Dame and you're losing to Louisville 4 weeks later, and then SMU a little bit after that. So it can flip pretty quickly. Let's hope for a non-Kansas-like loss today.
From what I heard from Mike Grella, this would be a Kansas loss.
Yes, if the U.S.
Football loss.
If U.S. goes out there and loses, it would be, according to him, a Kansas-like loss, or in Miami's case, I'm trying to think of a result that's similar. Maybe I'll just use SMU last year, although they weren't terrible. But either way, let's avoid all that. Let's get another win and have first place pretty much locked up, and maybe it will be locked up by the end of the day. All right, we'll go to break. Does Paraguay play Turkey today? I don't know. I assume that.
They're the final game.
So we won't know if the U.S. has won the group officially until about midnight. But we can only get started. We can only guarantee that, or at least get there, if you win against Australia at 2. That'll kick off at 2 in Seattle on Fox. All right, we'll go to break. We'll get into some more things. because we had Trevor Sikkema on earlier, and it was certainly Texan-centric, and he was very he added context. He had some insight into the Texans and what he thinks of the team. And the CBS article is the exact opposite. It's pretty much, hey, what's the obvious thing to talk about? And bang, they talked about it. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Remember, I know some of you save your calls for 11:30 because Michael Carroll will join us, but if you want to get in before that about anything, the number is 713-780-3776. Sean and I out here at East River 9 till noon. We will be back.
Back inside the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at East River 9. Here's Del Olalea.
As you heard the man, we're out at East River 9. We're out here until 6. Come stop by. The promo table is gone. And I mention that because if you stop by and sign up, you get a chance for a $500 gift card from, or gift certificate from, Republic Boot Company, and go get yourself something nice from the people over there. And then, of course, enjoy what East River 9 has to offer. Birdie's is where we are right now. It's kind of a clubhouse sports bar. Got all the TVs. Got a full bar, and they serve food here so you can enjoy that. And then, of course, go out there and play golf and pickleball. All the things to offer here at East River 9. Okay, so before we get to the rather obvious CBS Sports article about the Texans, Lance just left here about 20 minutes ago or so, and he's a father. So Father's Day is on Sunday. I asked him the question, what would he want? And he says, I want to force my kids to hang out and hope for no arguments. He wasn't very hopeful of the non-argument part of that. So we are not fathers.
No.
But we still remain sons.
Yep.
My father isn't in the country, so my Father's Day is going to be pretty simple.
Got an easy one.
And even his phone doesn't take international calls right now, so I can send an email and be done with it. What about you, son? What's in store for you as a son to a father on Father's Day?
Yeah, it's interesting because this weekend is also actually I think Sunday is also my brother's birthday. And so it's a little, I mean, honestly, it's kind of helpful. It's a two-for-one.
Yeah, get it out of the way.
Two-for-one special going on. He's coming into town and with my mom also. But it's not her day.
Oh, he didn't leave her at home?
Yeah, it's not her day. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if she's around.
But, yeah, we're I think, doing just a joint birthday, Father's Day, Cheesecake Factory dinner.
Your dad a big fan of the bread?
I think it's more of my brother.
Oh, your brother
likes
oh,
Cheesecake
got
Factory.
Got it. Your dad's
because
like,
again, it is also his birthday.
Yeah, that profiles Cheesecake Factory. Not a bad place to spend an occasion. Like because my dad's never in the country. It's a lot of like I don't get the hey happy birthday text from him because like I said, international calls.
Yeah,
roaming. not an email. So the effort sometimes wanes when it comes to this sort of thing. It's usually about, hey, I'm coming back into town in April, set up these appointments like for the doctor. I become a secretary about a month out, or executive assistant about a month out. But now I'm going to just say, hey, happy Father's Day. Hope things are going well, and then I'll hear from him about 3 months from now. So that's how. That's how
oh, okay. You don't even get like the.
I don't get the return.
Thumbs up emoji.
No. Not even. So I know what to expect. It's been a thing for about a decade or so. It is what it is. So hopefully, you guys, depending on what you want from Father's Day, you get what you want. I'm just letting you know there will be very little to any energy put in because that's all that's called for as far as Father's Day concerned. And speaking of little energy or thought being put into anything, let's go to this article. The CBS Sports did a breakdown of all 32 NFL teams and what would be a disaster scenario and the best case scenario for each team. Take a guess, Sean, about what the best case scenario for the Texans would be.
I assume that having an awesome defense is just like an assumed variable.
The phrase was star-studded defense, so you're right.
Yes.
But
okay.
That is written in this piece, yes.
I would say some combination of offensive line slash C.J. Stroud improvement or, you know, just, yeah, I would say improvement. Or I was going to say return to form, not so much for the offensive line.
Confidence restored for C.J.
Okay. It is crazy. I can just assume what is said.
Better protection along the offensive line. You did leave out stable running game, but you're right on track.
I was thinking either receiver core or Nick Haley.
They did not mention those two aspects, but they did say, hey, you get your quarterback back on track, the offensive line's better, you get the running game, and you complement your star set of defense, and the Texans can reach, at a minimum, the AFC title game. So you're dead on. Now, think about the disaster scenario. Worst case scenario for the Texans, what do you think it is?
I think it is. Again, the defense is just such a, like, constant. It feels like we're not even entertaining.
They didn't even mention a fall off. Didn't even dare to mention a fall off.
What if they're average? It's C.J. Stroud turned into a pumpkin in January and stays that way this entire season.
They went a level further than that. Actually, you know, you meant this past January, not the upcoming one.
Yes.
So you're right on that. Continues to crater.
Okay, continues.
His playoff woes bleed into 26. But you did not mention Davis Mills coming in,
ooh,
which is their cherry on top of the worst case scenario.
I kind of want to push back.
Okay,
I think if C.J. Stroud is so bad that that Davis Mills has to come in, at least you get clarity. You know, at least like it's not still up in the air. I think the worst case scenario might actually be they win 10 games, make the divisional round, the playoffs, and lose again. Like, that might actually be the worst possible thing. It's just, like, complete stasis. I actually think that a absolute implosion, while not great for the wins and losses, although with the star-studded defense, I mean, how bad of a team are we really – is even, like, actually possible? But I think – just having the clarity of like, oh, this C.J. Stroud thing is over, actually isn't the worst thing, because then we can go out and maybe Baker Mayfield's still in a contract dispute. Like, it opens up the doors to be aggressive. Oh, basically what Seattle did last season, bringing in, now if they bring in a version of Sam Darnold, whoever 2027 Sam Darnold is, it's not like we'll be, oh, yeah, throwing a parade in the street. We got, I don't even know who that would be, Mac Jones or something. But I actually do think it would actually be, like, clarifying if it's like, oh, like, C.J. Stroud just can't hack it.
Yeah, I would agree on your point. If they were to miss the playoffs and it's because the quarterback play declines in a way that's obvious, that is not the worst-case scenario. We do not want to be having the conversation that we were having and still are kind of having about C.J. In January of next year. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in a spot, the Texans don't want to be in a spot where they're going, are we sure about this? Going into his fifth-year option, still not sure, is the worst-case scenario.
That's the worst place to be in. I mean, we see it all the time with quarterbacks around the league, where it just feels like every year is like a referendum, and if you are on the, you know, pro this quarterback side, you have all the ammunition you need. You can, well, in this game, between weeks 4 and 8, when everyone was healthy, after the bye week, da-da-da-da-da. And then if you're on the other side, you're like, but in weeks 10 through the end of the season, he stunk. And, you know, like both sides get the ammunition to keep it a 50-50 toss-up. And maybe it's selfishly, it's like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
I need CJ to be great, and that is the scenario I'm actually hoping for. And if not, just be terrible.
Yeah, just like, I want to know. I want to know for sure.
Yeah, and terrible, I think the floor for him is not even terrible, but enough where you say, okay,
this
is not a $55 million, $60 million guy. So CBS, you're obvious, but even still.
They're not wrong.
You're not wrong on the first part, but I do believe you're wrong on the second part, because the clarity is far more beneficial, and clarity comes from your quarterback showing who he is, as opposed to still middling, and then you have to make a decision about whether you want to pay him. Because we've seen the middling quarterbacks get their cash and get a large amount of money, and a team had to incur the biggest cap hit in league history because they paid a middling quarterback a lot of money, and his injuries and his lack of performance led him to disappointing them. That's why Tua's now in Atlanta, and he'll probably beat out Michael Penix, but because that's just because he's Michael Penix.
Yeah. It's funny. I actually think of maybe it's just like a age thing, and it's like when I first started thinking about football this way more than just like the guys on the field. I always think of A, the Andy Dalton line, and B, another Dolphins quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, as far as he's still just good enough to like roll him out there again. And that, to me, is like actually the worst place to be in.
Yeah. So we all hope and pray to whatever God you pray to that hey, I'm not judging. I'm just saying not everyone prays to the same God.
Yes. Like Disclosure Day, we all need to make peace with an uncomfortable truth, and that might be CJ Stroud.
Yeah,
doesn't work out.
Whatever that might be, I would just like some clarity. I'm sure the Texans would too before they have to make a giant decision on their future and his. Because it is beyond the fact that this is a big season in the career of CJ Stroud, unless I'm mistaken. Despite all that Nick Caserio has done to build a roster that a lot of people believe has a chance to make a Super Bowl, I have not heard of a contract extension deep into June for Nick Caserio.
And GM contracts like don't always get whatever the or I guess it would be an Ian Rappaport tweet in this scenario, a Schefter tweet. But I agree with you that normally there'd be some, Aaron Wilson would have it, or there'd be some like. No, he did. We don't know the terms, but he did get an extension, and we just haven't seen that.
Yeah, we have not on Nick Caserio. So maybe it was done in secret a couple years ago, and he's fine as far as his contract is concerned. But that thing, if we just go by when he initially signed, would be running out after the end of the season. So we'll see if something happens before the season begins as far as his contract status with the Texans is concerned. Okay, we'll go to break with that. We're at East River 9. You can come out here and join us. The place is picking up a little bit. The kitchen is open. The bar is open. Come out here and join us. Get something to eat, get something to drink, and get yourself set up for a full day of World Cup soccer, beginning with the U.S. versus Australia at 2. And it'll be in Seattle, which is a great soccer environment. I don't think the U.S. has been up there in over a decade. That's a tweet I saw. Despite the success of the Sounders, the U.S. national team hasn't played a game up there in quite a bit. So, that community is going to be excited about it. We just saw L.A. come out in full force. I would suspect we're not going to see the level of celebrity that we saw in L.A. I don't know that Tom Cruise is making the trip up there, whether Katy Perry wants to spend a couple days in the Pacific Northwest. I don't know. Who would be the biggest Seattle celebrity if it was Seattle-based? Would it be a player, or would it be someone from the music scene?
Yeah, I was thinking, like, either, I mean, Sam Darnold, but I don't know if that.
Sam Darnold. I know he's a quarterback.
He's the quarterback of a Super Bowl winning team.
Still Sam Darnold.
I don't know. Eddie Vedder. If Eddie Vedder shows up. Gary Payton.
Yes. If Gary Payton decided to make a pit stop, I don't know that he lives up there.
King Griffey Jr. If he might be a credentialed photographer, actually.
It's true. He may not be someone you catch in the crowd.
Yeah.
He may get run over by a soccer player like that guy in the Mexico game did. Was it the Mexico game that happened in? No, it was because it was – we talked about it. It was the same match where the announcer got hurt. It was Colombia. It was the Colombia
yes.
game. It was
Colombia. Yes.
It was in Mexico City, but it was the Colombia game where that photographer
two nights ago.
King Griffey beat – keep your head on the swivel, man, if you're out there taking shots of the U.S. versus Australia. All right, we'll go to break. We will be back.
Under.
You're back inside the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at East River 9. Here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back. Sean upset one of our, one of the audience.
The live studio
the live
audience.
Studio
did
audience.
Not like the Baker Mayfield.
He did not like that suggestion at all. Anyone but Baker. He felt Mac Jones was more appealing of all quarterbacks. That's how upset he was about the thought of Baker Mayfield quarterbacking his favorite team. It'd be like that sometimes. Baker's does have a track record of some middling performances, certainly when he doesn't have OC that's going to be a future head coach like he had a couple years in Tampa. So we'll see. Let's just hope we don't even have to contemplate the scenario because CJ plays great.
Best case scenario, CJ Stroud gets paid $60 million a year in 2 years.
Because he earned it, not because he got no better options.
And he gets paid $60 million and we feel good about it.
Yeah, not. Ooh. Oh.
I don't know, guys.
You really want to do that? Let's get to Woods. He wants to talk some Texans. And then Pena, we'll get to you as well. What's up, Woods?
Hey, my brothers, how y'all doing today?
We're good. How are you?
Hey, man, talking about Nick Caserio, he's been here 6 years. He haven't put an offensive line together yet to protect Mills the first 2 years and the last 4 years with CJ. And the biggest problem I have with Nick Caserio, naturally, we brought in D'Amico Ryan here. D'Amico took care of as a head coach, he realized his strong suits. I'm going to take care of the defense. Nick, I'm going to let you orchestrate on the offense, put your people together. And he's been letting Nick Caserio do it. But Nick Caserio been dropping the ball. We had a promising young quarterback come in here, and you've been bringing in the Rudy Pooh offensive coordinators and quarterback coach that cannot coach this young man up and help him out. Give you an example. Trevor Lawrence, they brought in an offensive coordinator. He's a different quarterback now. Same thing with Williams up there in Chicago. The first year, he was horrible. They brought in an offensive coordinator from Detroit, different quarterback now. Bryce Young with Carolina, same thing. Brought in a true offensive coordinator, different quarterback. A young quarterback needs an experienced coordinator in there to help him learn these NFL defenses and to help him take it to the next level. What Nick is doing, he got rid of your blindside tackle. You got rid of a two-way tackle who could play tackle and guard because you figure, well, I don't want to pay them the money. I can move. I can put an offensive line together. I can bring in these people I didn't went to college with, my New England buddies, and we can make this thing happen on this offense. I still don't have confidence that he's going to make it happen. I'm hoping, I'm believing. We should have been in the Super Bowl last year. I mean, man, that was our opportunity. I see us going 12-5 this year, and that's just because I have this strong belief that we can overcome some of the mistakes that Nick Caserio keep putting out there on that offensive line. We got a true running back now, but we still need another receiver. Because we have receivers go down left and right every year. Nick Collins is 17 games in the season. He's not going to last the whole year. He's always out 3 or 4 games. Tank Dell got the little bitty legs. He got a big heart, but he got those little bitty legs. He ain't going to hold up. We can't trust Tank to come through and be there for us. We need another receiver to help us out. I know we're looking at Higgins and Noah to hope that the second year they can come along, but now it's going to probably be that third or fourth year when they come along. Same thing with Nico. It took him 3 years to come along. I mean, we need that another receiver that really put us over the top on that offense because CJ is really becoming shell shocked. He showed that in the playoffs. When the defense start blitzing him in the second half, he becomes shell shocked. He started to try not to make mistakes, and he make mistakes. But you need an offensive coordinator in there to help them learn the game, to help him overcome his mistakes.
Appreciate it, Woods. I will say this. You mentioned – let's break some of what you said down. You mentioned that he needs an OC that can help him, an experienced one. Those don't really exist unless they're your head coach. You mentioned Ben Johnson as far as guys who get jobs because you, for the most part in the NFL, experienced OCs need to get a promotion to leave. You can't just steal an OC from another team. They need to be promoted, and the way you promote them is the head coach. And what did the Chicago Bears do for Caleb Williams, as you mentioned? They hired an offensive-minded head coach who was an accomplished OC. Same for Bryce Young, who you mentioned. The Texans went the other route. They went and got a DC to be their head coach, also a culture setter, a culture changer, with D'Amico Ryan. So once you do that, now you have to hope that your GM and coach come together and go hire a good offense coordinator. And normally that isn't going to be a guy who's had play calling experience, because I just laid it out for you why promotions are needed. Or it's a guy who was
on the other side where he got his shot as a head coach.
Yeah,
and it's Mike McDaniel.
Or yes, that's the other way you do it. Yeah. Mike, and even Mike McDaniel, it just turns out he wasn't actually a play caller until he went to Miami. But to your point, he can coordinate an offense. He can call plays.
There's a track record of play calling and being good at it.
You need a recently fired offensive-minded head coach, or you just need to flat out just hire an OC to be your head coach.
There really isn't the Steve Spagnuolo of offensive coordinating. You know, where it's like, I guess it would be Nagy maybe. Who's also a failed head coach on the Chiefs staff.
Yeah,
and when you say Matt Nagy, people instinctively make stink faces.
I made the face when you said it.
Yes, but there's not like the I don't know, Brad Childress
the
just
career
long time
coordinator who you could
like a North Turner towards the end. You know, after the Chargers run he had, there's just not that. There's not a lot of those guys, and when you say those guys' names, it's not exactly like inspiring stuff to be like, yes, hopefully, we can introduce a failed offensive coordinator or a failed head coach as our new offensive coordinator.
Because if you are a successful OC, you will get a head coaching job.
Yeah.
You may fall back because it doesn't work out as a head coach. You may get another opportunity as the Mike McDaniel scenario.
If they were like, here's our new minus the Bills-ness of it all.
Would you want Frank Reich?
New offensive coordinator Frank Reich. I don't know.
It is the game.
It's a steady hand for sure.
The game or the pool of OCs that people find desirable are ones who are younger, who in some ways, have never done it, but they've been on successful staffs. That's why you had Nick Caley here. That's why you had Bobby Slowick here. The only other option is to pull a guy off, not the scrap heap, but a guy who's been out of football for a year, but is still up to date on modern concepts. But they went the defensive coordinator out to be your head coach. So now you got to find OCs that are great. And if one goes to be a head coach, then you got to do it again. What Todd Bowles did in Tampa for a couple turns.
Yep.
Then he couldn't do it the third time around.
That's the thing. It's like they just need to be better at hiring. You know, like they just need to get the, you know, like in the Todd Bowles example, he went, I guess, 2 for 2 and then missed one. The Texans have gone
0 for 1
and we're non-inspiring.
We have no real
TBD.
Confidence yes. in the current OC.
But, yeah, I mean, what you needed was Mike Vrabel to get the New England head coach and be like, I don't want to work with Josh McDaniels. I want Arthur Smith or something.
Yeah.
And then Nick Caserio is like, oh, I've worked with Josh McDaniels before. He's hired to talk about the other one of Wood's points of just overall the, I'd say, hiring practices of Nick Caserio, where if you didn't go to John Carroll or if you didn't work with them in New England, doesn't seem like you have a great job of or a great shot at getting a job with the Texans.
Yeah, D'Amico got his chance to hire his guy from San Francisco.
Never again.
It didn't work out, so now it feels like it's Canario. Caserio will have a large say in hires of that magnitude going forward as long as he's around. Pena, I see you. In fact, you know what, Pena? Hold. We'll
Hang
get
up.
To you.
No.
We'll hold. Get to you when we come back.
You know what, Pena? We're not going to get to you.
We'll
no.
get to you when
we will
come
get
back.
To you, Pena.
You want to talk World Cup, we'll get to you. Anyone else after Pena, we'll certainly get to them as well as we continue here at East River Night.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with GameTime. Download the GameTime app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.